afternoon. You're listening to Verum Sports on your Saturday afternoon. Of course, you are. And regular listeners of Verum Sports will know we are massive fans of the Hertfordshire Cheetahs here on Verum Sports. And they are, of course, only a few months away from launching their new season. And today, real pleasure, we've got a brand new kind of pundit from the Cheetahs in-house. We're privileged to be joined by Phil McGovern, head coach of the Cheetahs Youth Programme. He's going to be telling us all about that, reminding us how successful their youth programme has been this season, so plenty to build on. But first and foremost, it's incumbent upon me to say hello, Phil, and welcome to Verum Sports.
Hi, Tony. Happy to be here.
And also, I've got to add, happy Christmas to you. Why not? We're in December.
Thanks. Well, of course, I'd go Merry Christmas. Of course, with my accent, you have to say Merry Christmas, not Happy Christmas.
Well, listen, it's all good. Again, from your authentic American accent there, and I know you're a Patriot. Can't wait to unpack that briefly with you.
Oh, God, the Patriots.
They defy logic to me.
Yeah.
Because the nature of the NFL, the way it's designed, particularly now, not just with salary cap, but, you know, again, mid-season transfers and this, that and the other, is designed to be almost a utopian league. And the meritocracy, the dynasty that Belichick, Kraft and, of course, Brady have crafted, it blows my mind. It must be astonishing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been a Patriots fan basically all my life. I really started paying attention to the Patriots back in the late 70s. And I come here and they see my Patriots, you know, paraphernalia, and they go, you know, oh, you're just a bandwagon jumper. And I said, no, I actually have lived the Patriots my entire life. You know, I coach 13 to 16 year olds and they get on me for liking the Patriots. And I say, well, when I was 15, they went 2-14.
Yes.
So whatever team you're supporting now, it has the opportunity when you're an adult to turn it around.
Hopes for the Bengals yet.
I wouldn't go that far.
just going back to that, because you have seen the full journey, and what a journey it has been. Quite frankly, I would make the case that in terms of sporting dynasty, pan all sports, what has been accomplished with the Kraft leadership at the very helm, through, of course, the maestro Belichick, and of course, Brady the GOAT, arguably.
Not arguably.
Listen, I'm a 49, I'm always going to go Montana, never lost the Super Bowl, but etc., etc.
Yep.
But the bottom line is, I think it is the greatest dynasty in all of sport, given the nature of the NFL that they're playing in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to, like, you know, if any of my American friends ever hear this, because not only am I a Patriots fan, I'm also a diehard Boston Red Sox fan. And I would have to say that back in the day, the New York Yankees, for a stretch through the 50s and 60s, were basically as unstoppable as the Patriots have been over the last 20 years. But, you know, I will never admit that in public, and so I must have been drinking or something by now. But
it's out there. The universe has heard, but it's always one of those great debates, isn't it? There were those, obviously, from a football perspective, that would talk about Man U and Liverpool previously. And, I mean, I would even argue these days, Saracens in the rugby sphere, what they've recently achieved. But my point, the reason I would always come back for my money, given my particular frame of reference, it's just what the Pats have done. Because, again, the dice are loaded against dynasty.
It really is. I mean, the fact that they've seemed to have a talent for picking up players that have sort of been discarded by other teams and getting the last few years. I mean, what they did with Junior Seau,
yes,
what they did with Randy Moss. You know, they got these players who were seemingly at the end of their careers and then got the few extra years out of them. And they were able to pay them lower money because they were sort of being rejected by other teams because of their age and where their status was. And they've just been, not only that, they've picked up people, you know, out of the draft, the sixth round. I mean, heck, Brady, everyone knows Brady came with the 199th pick. But, you know, people like, you know, when Malcolm Butler came out as undrafted rookie,
yep,
and they were able to pick him up, and everyone knows what he did. And, you know, all these, you know, running backs that no one had ever heard of. They, you know, even had Corey Dillon for a while, who was at the end of his career. It really is just amazing. The scouting, you know, has got to get a lot of that credit.
What I really admire about all that is, again, it comes back to coaching. You, of course, are a coach. Can't wait to get your news on the Cheetahs Youth Programme, just a minute. But some coaches are a slave to a system, and they're committed to that system. We see that with my Niners in the West Coast offense back in the day. You know, obviously, lots of different forms. But for me, what Belichick does is he identifies the weakness of any given opposition, plays to that, and then, amazingly, takes away whatever their given strength is. So it's not per se a system, it's just we will work towards beating you in whatever way we can find to beat you.
Yeah, I mean, the only constant with Bill Belichick is the fact that he's always changing. You know, I was watched an interview with him just the other day, and he was saying about it just comes back to Sun Tzu. It's like basically find their weakness and play to their weakness, attack their weakness, and play to your strength. And that's what it always does. You know, they always say every time they play a powerful opponent, they're going to take away your most powerful piece, whether it's someone on the defense or some outstanding quarterback or some outstanding receiver or running back. They always say we'll take him away. You can have everybody else, but we're taking him away, and you've got to now beat us with just that, without that, star player you have.
I love the fact that you were there and you've seen it all from the dark times
Steve Grogan.
To the goods. I can remember just briefly the Parcells era, the changing of the guards. Mm-hmm. Where Drew Bledsoe, kind of injured, and there was a sense that something was building at that time.
Yeah.
Before Belichick came in, but before that, you're right, they were up there with
dire.
The yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember 1985. They did go to the Super Bowl 1985 and got annihilated by the Chicago Bears.
And but that's arguably the greatest team of all time, isn't it? That Bears,
the Bears 85 team, yeah. That was a pretty unstoppable team. But, of course, one could always go back and look at 1980s football and say how much steroids were they actually doing, because it had to be a lot. But the thing is that Bears team was tremendous. I didn't hold out a lot of hope for them in that Super Bowl. I mean, they actually had been one of, I think that was the first year the wild card had come in, or one of the first years, and they actually were the wild card. And they had come in and hit that Super Bowl. But yeah, as I said, they were 2-14 when I was 15. And I actually went to one of those two. It was at the old Foxborough Stadium. And they beat the Houston Oilers, if you can remember them. Yeah,
I do. Rings a bell. Goodness me. Now the Texans. And that's how our world
actually
evolves.
I think the Houston Oilers were the ones that moved to Baltimore. No, they moved to Tennessee.
Tennessee Titans.
And they're Tennessee Titans is a Houston Oilers franchise now. And then the Houston Texans, I think, was a brand new, from scratch, creation team.
Hey, the foibles of the franchise system.
I think they were actually called the Tennessee Oilers for a couple of years after they had moved.
As I say, it's crazy to us Brits. We don't quite understand this, but as a massive fan of NFL, I do appreciate it.
Yep.
Just kind of move now into the here and now, because, of course, given the phenomenal dynasty that we've unpacked that is the Patriots, the road to the Super Bowl has to go through Gillette Stadium now.
I would say the road to the Super Bowl goes through Baltimore at the current time. As much as I love my Patriots, they didn't play well against the Ravens, and the Ravens are just a phenomenal team. And it's going to really kill me if Max Duffin ever hears this interview. He's going to hold it over me that I will admit that his Baltimore Ravens are actually, I would say, the favorites currently to win.
It's a great shout. They definitely played well against my 49ers. But
that was a close. That was a good game. I actually thought the 49ers would pull it out.
I'm loving the Niners this season, and it's been a little while for us in the doldrums.
Yeah.
But anyway, coming back to my point that I was kind of moving towards there, massive, massive games all the time now as we are in the business end of the season.
I mean, this Sunday.
Chiefs-Pats. I mean, it is the GOATs, I'll give you it for now, Mr. Brady, versus the next generation, the new breed, Mahomes, who I think, obviously, injury aside, has still shown genius this season. I tell you what, I'm a believer. I sense the reservation.
I wouldn't go that far. I think he's had a little bit of a drop-off this year compared to what he had done the last 2 years. I think the injury hurt. I don't follow the Chiefs as religiously as I follow the Patriots, but from what I've seen, and they are a little bit less than they were last year on offense, and their defense last year wasn't great and got worse probably this year. So I would give the edge to the Patriots this weekend. I'm confident that the offense will be turned around, and that defense will step up back again and dominate.
I think look, it's always very tough to back against the Pats. I'm not going to go there, but I will say, watch out for Mahomes, because seriously, the guy is a mercurial, a game changer, and seriously has a massive future in the game.
Yep. I mean, I would pick, if I were to start a franchise today, I would put it around Patrick Mahomes rather than Lamar Jackson.
Interesting, because Jackson, the Baltimore QB, is many people's tip for the player of the season. So
the MVP this year. Yeah, I would say, but the problem. The problem with Lamar Jackson is one hit and that team's done. You know, he is very, very dynamic, very talented. He makes some throws. What I love to see out of him as a offensive fan is actually the sidearm throws that he makes.
Yes.
The sidearm throws that he makes in traffic are phenomenal. But the problem is I worry every time he goes downfield and takes off of the ball running because he's not a big guy. A hit low to a knee or a broken collarbone or something like that, and the Ravens are now no longer winning the Super Bowl.
The point of the matter is this is whilst he is here, he's to be cherished and to be appreciated. They, as you rightly say, Ravens are red hot as we are moving into this crucial time of the season. Another big game I want to quickly unpack with you. Again, as I've might have mentioned in this interview, I'm a bit of a 49ers fan. Taking on Drew Brees' Saints. Saints are at home. They've tied up their division. Niners again, 10-2, having a great campaign, but obviously that narrow defeat to Ravens recently means that they've got to get back to winning ways. And Drew Brees is an artist, maybe the twilight of his career. They're still going to be in Super Bowl contention. Mm-hmm. Love what Sean Payton does with them as a coach. Your thoughts for that clash?
Well, I'm going to be a bit of a homer, as Jimmy G is, to my mind, always a Patriot. He was there, and he's only a 49er by, sort of, they had to.
However it came to be, I will take it all day and all night long.
Yeah, so I'm a Jimmy G fan. This year, I think it is the 49ers' year to get to the Super Bowl. I don't think they'll beat the Ravens in the Super Bowl, assuming that the Ravens go. I think it is the 49ers' year to get there. Their offense is above average, but their defense is stellar. And so when you compare that to the Saints. The Saints have the powerful offense, and Drew Brees is always a talent. And I went to university in San Diego, and so I actually still think of Drew Brees as a San Diego Charger.
Yeah.
And so I actually have watched Drew for a long time, and I think he's great, and he's going to do well. But
first-round Hall of Famer, isn't he? Surely.
Oh, yeah, definitely, without a doubt. And then, but the problem is their defense they won't be able to keep up. They are, I think, 23rd or 24th against the run in the league, and so I think against the pass. And I think that Jimmy G and his two great receivers he's gotten, the rookie Deebo Samuels and then Emmanuel Sanders, will be able to tear it up, I think. They're going to pass. I think it's going to be a shootout this weekend, but I think the 49ers should come away with that one.
I'm just going to echo you all there, all the above points. And obviously Jimmy G, Garoppolo, the on-form quarterback for the
Garoppolo.
49ers.
Garoppolo.
Look, this is a man who knows that draw better than I could ever muster, but there we go. Okay, so look, I could talk NFL with you all day and all night, but as head coach of the Cheetahs Youth Program, Phil.
Yep.
Remind us, please. We've explained it, we've championed it a few times, but the under-17s last year did okay, didn't they?
We were fair to Midland, I'd say. So the Cheetahs under-16, not under-17. You have to be 16, under-16 when the season starts. So basically you have to be year 11 or below. Basically, yeah, we went undefeated last year, the first ever for a Cheetah youth squad. And the Cheetahs have been around, as you know, since the 80s. The Cheetah youth squad, we went undefeated. We went 12-0. We were ranked second in the country going into the playoffs. Unfortunately, if everyone remember, the playoffs happened in mid-August. And I don't know if anyone remembers the weather we had for a little stretch in mid-August.
Yeah, yeah.
It got very, very stormy. and the winds were horizontal at 45 miles an hour, and it was raining, which unfortunately damaged our game because we were a very pass-heavy offense, and we weren't able to do as well in the playoffs as we'd like. And so we won our first game in a slugfest in the mud. And then, unfortunately, lost the second game by a touchdown, and then won our third, the consolation game. So we ended up third in the country.
Just again, this isn't just third in Hertfordshire. This isn't just third in the south of the UK, but across the mighty nation of Great Britain.
Yep.
Right now, despite the situation that you had to kind of adjust to, you come into this new campaign, the third best youth team, youth program in American football. I mean, goodness me, that's an achievement.
Yeah, I'm really, really proud of the lads that we had. That's and ladies. We do actually have some girls on our team. The lads and ladies of the youth team last year. We really not only was it we were a success like on the pitch. We actually were a great team. I mean, with a capital T. They all gelled really well, and I really emphasize that as the head coach. It's like winning is one thing. I mean, we know we're not going to the NFL, so we better come out here, be good sportsmanship. When you feel a penalty doesn't come, you never come up raising your arm, saying and talking to the ref. You don't talk back. You know, if some other player on the other team is chippy, you rise above it. I really coach that as an emphasis to make sure that we are there. We're gentle people, men and women, on the pitch. We play hard, but once the whistle blows, we're best friends with the other team again. And that's the way I always was when I played. And so I never played actually football. I played, my sport was ice hockey, but never mind that.
Different world. But just coming back to that, that kind of philosophy emanates from everybody I encounter at the Cheetahs. I've been kind of, in inverted commas, lucky to be padded up with you guys on a few occasions. Great fun and always a laugh. But the fact is, you always have that strive to be the best that you can be on the pitch. And again, obviously, great season back in the Championship 1 for the guys, women doing it as well. We've spoke to Yasmin, Great Britain International. Yep. But all to a man and a lady are united by a real kind of community ethos.
Yep.
And more importantly, even than that, it's not just on a kind of insular, we are the Cheetahs kind of effect. But I think you guys are massively impressive at being ambassadors for the awesome sport of American football here in St. Albans. And I think that is so, so critical.
Yeah, I mean, we really pride ourselves on the one team ethos. You know, the idea that whether you are a, you know, not, you know, 10 or 11-year-old playing flag up to a 40-year-old playing, you know, senior ball that you've been playing for 20 years, you are part of the Cheetah family. We are consistent from, you know, the youngest to the eldest. We are all part of one squad. And getting my exposure to all the other teams, I see that is a real rarity. There are very few clubs in the country that are nearly as unified as we are as a club. I've been part of the Cheetahs I'm going on my fourth year now as a coach. I was the offensive coordinator for my first year, and then I've been head coach since then. But we've been really, we were lucky to have a leading force, and I'm sure you know of Luke Clark, and he did a phenomenal job of really guiding us. And then the fact that he was able to get people around him. I mean, you know, they always say the best leaders are actually surround themselves with the best people. That's how you can tell you're a great leader. And so we've been blessed with some consistency in coaching, both myself and Alex Holmes at the under-19s. We've been there and been coaching for, you know, and been present now for a long time. You know, we've gotten actually to the stage where players basically go from playing the under-16 contacts to playing the under-19 contacts, and now the first ones are actually getting to the senior teams. And so
that's a culture, then, isn't it? That's a culture.
And so, you know, we've got players coming from that even, you know, they go away to university and they're still coming back and want to be Cheetahs.
I mean, one of the things that almost kind of encapsulated that, you mentioned Luke, And I know he's had to move literally. But last season, almost kind of personifying this cheetah family spirit, I think he was commuting from the south. Yeah, cool. You know, yeah. Crazy. So we are technically in the off season, but you know that the season never really ends.
No, our season actually starts. You know, our season ends in August and starts in October.
That's it.
So basically,
absolutely,
we get 6 weeks off, and so yeah, we started up training in the first couple weeks of October. We tried to ride the NFL in the UK games and try to, you know, build on, oh, you've seen these games on TV, you've seen them advertised, maybe you've got an opportunity to go to a game, and so maybe come on down, give it a go. We, you know, it's not like a tryout. We accept all abilities. And even now that we are, you know, 6-7 weeks into our training schedule, it's still, you still have the opportunity, no matter what age you are, to come on down. And as I said, we actually have three girls on my team that are really, really great competitors. And they were there last year. They're there again this year. We had a couple of girls come to training, come to the tryouts. We're still trying to get them back. We really, you know, approach it as a co-ed team. Because once you suit up the pat, once you put helmet and shoulder pads on, you're just a player. I don't care what you are like. And the great great thing about football is sorry, I just call it football. You know, I don't call it American football.
For me, I've been such a fan for such a long time that, you know, I'm almost into football being soccer, if I'm honest with you.
But we can get all, I always have this argument. Soccer, everyone knows, is an English word. It's not an Americanism. It is the English word for it. But yeah, I call it round ball kicky thing.
Listen, carry on. Where were we?
Basically, I was saying the great thing about football is that
I love that.
Well, because everyone calls American football handball egg thing or something like that. So the great thing about football is no matter your size or shape, there is a position for you. You know, if you are big and slow, it doesn't matter. We have a need for you. If you are small and fast, we have a need for you. If you're tall and fast, even great. If you're big and fast, I mean, that's the ideal thing, of course. It doesn't matter. We have a position for you. We've got some kids, you know, that maybe have not had the opportunity to play a lot of sports because they are larger kids, have the opportunity to come and play American football. And we work on the cardio. We work on the athleticism to build that up. And these are kids that may have been excluded from sport their entire life because, you know, they couldn't have played soccer. They're not fast enough. And rugby, they didn't have the endurance to play rugby. And so they've watched American football and they've been able to come to the Cheetahs
and
find their place.
I mean, for me, it is quite literally the most perfect team sport in that regard. You know, that there are so many different varieties. And then you have, of course, special teams. And there's always a place. And as I say, personally, I've had the privilege to pad up with you guys.
Yep.
Phil, as you say, the season carries on. It never ends and gets underway, I think, for real in April time. But like you say, so much to say about just having a go, falling in love with it. And even if you don't, hey, you've tried, but you've experienced that wonderful warm embrace of the Cheetah family.
Yep.
What's the best way for us to find more information?
The best way to find information is there are several ways. I mean, you know, we've got a Facebook page, but none of the kids are on Facebook anymore. It's just too, that's their parents, right, basically. So the parents can go on Facebook, you know, just, you know, search up Hertfordshire Cheetahs AFC.
Although 2,000 likes, I think it had.
It does have 2,000 likes. I mean, they're mostly by, you know, their parents rather than the kids. But one of the best ways is through Instagram. We, you know, are, you know, at Hearts Cheetahs. I believe that is the link. You know, so you go on there, send a DM to Hearts Cheetahs on Instagram. One of our chairmate people will get back to you. There is a website, HertfordshireCheetahs.com. That is there. It's flexible in its updatedness. We are an all volunteer organization. We do everything just like Radio Verulam.
Absolutely, I know you guys, absolutely.
So
and also, by the way, You can follow them every step of the way here on Verum Sports, as we love the Cheaters.
Yep.
But so multiple ways online across multiple platforms. Just, I would encourage people to engage. Have a go, because, again, it's a great sport. I'm a huge fan.
Yep.
But these guys really are just decent human beings, striving towards great things, and ambassadors for a wonderful sport, Phil. What can I tell you?
I mean, I've always enjoyed it. As I said, I never got an opportunity to play. Back in high school, I actually did play-by-play for our high school football team. So I'm actually more used to being behind the microphone than anything else. And then once I got to university, I was basically just a fan. As I said, my sport was ice hockey. I grew up in New England, and basically the sport of New Englanders is ice hockey. And
even so, now, even with
now, I mean, it is. They always say ice hockey, it belongs to the states with the M's, so Massachusetts, Maine, Montana, Michigan, and so. I grew up playing ice hockey, and I was lucky enough to play for some very, very good ice hockey teams. My goaltender is now in the Hall of Fame, just put it that way. So, I actually was a school teacher back in the U.S., and I got on with the kids very well. And so the coach there asked me to help out with the football team. I also helped coach baseball. And so I just got them some coaching experience in the U.S. and did several years coaching high school football, and then once we moved to the U.K. I've been to the U.K. 13 years now. I've got two sons, both of who are playing. My son expressed interest in playing football, and he looked it up, and I showed up and said, I've got a little coaching experience. A week later, I was the offensive coordinator.
Brilliant. And the rest is history, Phil.
The rest
I love
is
it.
History. Yeah, I mean, I've been really lucky. I'm really a little, nervous now. It's like, I went 12-0. It's like, how on earth can I top going 12-0? But I was blessed with some great players. You mentioned that Yaz is in the under-19, the Team GB. We have, I believe, 8 representatives of the Cheetahs on the under-19 GB squad.
Amazing.
Yeah, and so we have a really great pool of talent, but we're always looking for new players. You can show up. Even where, as I said, we're not, the season isn't closed. We're done. We practice on Sundays.
St. Albans Rugby Club.
St. Albans Rugby Club. That's our in Oakland Lane. So Sundays, the flag, which is up to 13s, is I believe they start at 1. The my team, we go from 2 to 4. The seniors, they go from 1:30 to 3:30, and then the under-19s go from 4 to 6. And so, basically, Sunday afternoons are the time to come over. We don't start the season till August. No experience necessary. You show up. We can help some with the kit. We've got some club kit, and don't be worried about the contact. We had one total injury last year, and that was just by fluke. So it is a proper sport. Everyone says, "Oh, rugby players like to belittle American
football."
Well,
they say this. Okay, and again, I grew up in Leicester. I'm a massive rugby union fan. It is kind of the sport with which I have most affinity to.
I don't understand it.
But I'll tell you what. Martin Johnson, who was an England World Cup winning captain, was a tight end at Leicester Lions. Well, actually, Sean Payton QB'd for a bit. And he is a massive, massive... actually a 49er fan as well, as he goes. But he's a scholar of the sport. Mm. He knows the different routes. He actually calls them routes when he uses these in the lexicon. And,
As opposed to what else do you call them?
Indeed, of course. But the point he makes is that rugby is a contact sport. American football, a collision sport.
Yeah.
And, to hear him talk about that, my point is, though, I certainly would never, ever buy into the, they just wear pads and blah, blah, blah. Nonsense, people. Seriously, get down and get involved with the Cheetahs. You won't regret it.
Yep.
Follow the NFL. You won't regret it. Pick a team, and they could go, you never know, to the Patriots-esque levels over time. Because the beauty of the sport is that it is such the greatest cliche in all of sport, isn't it? Any given Sunday.
Any given Sunday, anybody can win. I mean, the Patriots, they went 16-0, got to the Super Bowl, and I still hate Eli Manning to this day, but.
Hey, listen, I tell you what, he's possibly earned himself a place in the Hall of Fame accordingly.
No, please, no.
I can see it happening. Anyway, look, Phil, look, I could talk to you all day and all night long, but obviously so much info and sport to pack in. Just in closing, one final time, that Instagram way, the best way to engage with the Cheetahs.
So it's @HeartsCheetahs on Instagram. That's probably the best way. You know, and then you'd be able to get send us a DM. We'll get back to you unless you know, let you know what to do next.
Hey, get involved. We'll follow the Cheetahs, both from the men right down to bidding to improve upon 12-0, improve upon third best in all of Great Britain.
Yep.
And we'll follow them all campaign. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Phil. Thank you for coming in. Enjoy the rest of the evening. Once again, Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much.